Deuteronomy in the Later Writings, commentary for the December 11th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Isaiah 58, verses 2 through 4. This week, as my wife and I were driving to a local grocery store, we saw flashing red and blue lights and several police and sanitation workers gathered under a railroad overpass that went above the street that takes us to the store. As we passed by, we discovered that the police were rousting out a sizable homeless camp, and the workers were cleaning up the accumulated trash. A number of the homeless, who had already been pushed out, were gathering in groups with what belongings they could carry a few blocks on either side of where their encampment had been. Unsure of where to go, after driving through and reaching the grocery store, which was only a block away, we discovered an unexpected result of driving the homeless off. To carry away their meager belongings, they had taken most of the shopping carts from the store. None were in the cart corrals outside, and none were available inside the store. This cut short our trip to the store. Due to age and disability, we cannot hand carry very much when shopping. Of course, what we witnessed is not unique to our city. Cities large and small across the United States are struggling to find solutions to the issue of widespread homelessness. Some others have tried to criminalize homelessness with loitering and vagrancy laws. Others have played a game of ping pong with them, buying them a bus ticket to the next city, and then that city buying them a ticket to send them back. Others have attempted to build housing for the homeless. But the homeless population seems to grow faster than available housing despite efforts to fix it. While there has always been a hardcore homeless problem related to substance abuse and mental illness, many dealing with homelessness are not choosing self-destructive lifestyles based on these issues. Many Americans, especially those in states that only require the federal minimum wage for employees of $7.35 per hour, are unable to make enough money to afford a home off the street. Our eastern neighbor, Idaho, has this as their minimum wage standard. This comes to a little over $15,000 per year. The average per capita income in Washington State is almost $39,000, and minimum wage here, effective January 1st, 2022, will be $14.49 per hour. This is just over $30,000 per year, or almost twice what an Idaho worker can expect to earn. When we couple that with a booming real estate market that has some parts of Idaho faced with bidding wars over living space, some of the most difficult areas for low-wage workers to find housing. Most property owners want first and last month's rent, along with a security deposit. That can be an insurmountable obstacle on minimum wage. But if somehow they could scrape up a means to meet that requirement, then they are faced with property owners using credit reports as a criterion to choose which tenant gets to move in. A person who has been laid off and lost their home due to being unable to pay rent is not likely to have a sparkling credit history, especially if they have been forced to default on unsecured credit card debt accumulated while they were still working. Decades ago, we had a homeless man attending our church who had mental health issues. He would come and read the newspaper during the sermon because it was warmer and the pews were padded. He would stay for potluck, loading up on the best nutrition he had had all week. We tried to find him a better living situation, but he would always return to the large cardboard box he lived in. He considered that home and did not want to live elsewhere. But if we think the homeless are like him, we need to understand that he is the exception, not the rule. Most of us, including most of the homeless, would rather have a warm bed in an apartment or a house somewhere instead of a piece of torn cardboard spread over a patch of gravel under an overpass. When we admit that we would not choose to live like that, the scriptural admonition quoted by Jesus to love your neighbor as yourself strikes home. Then we realize how little of what we would do for ourselves we would do for others. As our text from Isaiah at the beginning of this commentary points out, while no one thinks of themselves as immoral, and many claim to be Christian, we nonetheless are constantly at war with one another, verbally and physically. We think that because we observe the proper forms of religion, we are above reproach compared to others. But we were never called to compare ourselves to others. They are not the standard of righteousness. Christ is. We are called to reflect the character of God in our being. This was the intent behind mankind's creation, to be in the image of God. God's character was to be our character, and God is love. If both we and God are love, then the relationship we were intended to have was to be defined by that love. Reaching back to Deuteronomy 6:5, Jesus shared with us the greatest purpose, to love God supremely. It then follows with so much love to fill our hearts, it would naturally overflow and touch lives everywhere. We saw this in the character of Jesus. Multitudes were fed, and so many were healed of diseases that likely some small villages no longer had a sick person among them. Some might rightly ask, in the face of a pandemic that has killed so far over 800,000 people in the United States alone, where are the loving healers among us? Our lesson this week refers to the Israelites having gone astray by the time Josiah became king in Jerusalem. The king was read the book of the law discovered in the temple during restoration, and he realized how far they had fallen. Fearful of the result of that fall, he begins reforms to divert the country from its downward spiral. Considering what we see today, not just in the United States, but around the world, like those ancient Israelites, we are far from the loving image we were created to be. And as a result, many are fearful for what is to come. The global pandemic, military buildups by the world's major powers, and the rich grabbing everything they can to add to their overflowing treasure hoards, all are ominous signs of trouble on the horizon. But instead of seeking a return to godliness like King Josiah, we join in the madness that is destroying us. Without regard to the love modeled by Christ, we see the world arming for war both locally and internationally, so we join the rush. We are willing to trade eternity for a few more days in this chaos. When we pull that trigger on our neighbor, it cannot be taken back, and the Bible tells us that there will be no place for murderers in heaven. That is because heaven is a place of love, and murdering someone is not an act of love. Sadly, some Christians even brag about their willingness to murder someone given the right scenario. We live in a time when it is easier to justify shooting someone than it is to love them. It is easier to justify accumulating things we do not need than to love our neighbor enough to make sure they have the necessities to sustain themselves and their family. We can multiply vehicles while others have only one they must live in. We abuse drugs and alcohol to our own detriment, while others, sick and hopeless, would love to have one more day of the life we so carelessly throw away. Long ago, humanity chose to walk away from love and pursue things instead. The Bible tells us the first thing was some fruit on a tree. but we've come a long way since then. Each of us has a television tree in our homes, and it showers us with all sorts of beguiling things we must have, appealing to desire more than common sense. Bad as that is for our tendency toward selfishness, it also tells us that the answer to every situation is violence toward others. We must have things. Others want our things, so we must shoot them. Like a broken record, the same tune plays into our minds repeatedly from cradle to grave. Little wonder, then, that we come to see God as made in that image, ready to wipe us out for messing with his things. Without understanding the nature of God and our purpose to emulate that nature, we become enamored of whatever we desire, no matter the cost to others. We relabel our selfish desires as rights to ease our conscience, where the Holy Spirit still tries to reach us. But after we fulfill each wish for something, we find emptiness, an emptiness that drives us to wish for something else, in hopes that the emptiness will finally be sated. But it never is. We will only find peace when we allow God to restore us and replace selfishness with love. Asking God to make that happen may be one of the hardest things we have ever done, but it can change everything. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as more commentaries in both written form and podcast form, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.